This program is intended for print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to A Positive Outlook, an audio journal production highlighting optimistic news stories. Material is selected with the interests of its audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. My name is Ava Sardina, and I am your volunteer reader. The following articles are from goodnewsnetwork.org. Community dads raise thousands to surprise beloved school crossing guard with a new car. By Andy Corbley. A group of North Texas dads raised money for a new car for a beloved school crossing guard, leaving her and the community in shock. Ask anyone in the Moss Haven Elementary School community about Miss Tricia Crawford, and you'll hear the same thing. She's so kind and protective of every child. A staple of the community, who knows more parents on a first-name basis than most of the school employees, Miss Crawford's been without wheels for the last 6 months after her car broke down and she lacked the money to repair or replace it. I was lifting here, and then when I ran out of money, I had to get on the bus, Crawford told local CBS affiliate KTVT. But I had to do what I had to do. Learning of her predicament, the Moss Haven Dads Club pooled their time and expertise to get the beloved Miss Crawford back behind a wheel. Marcus Wather is a member of the Dads Club who organizes the Carpool Dads volunteers, who drop children off to school every morning, saving parents gas and keeping kids safe. It was Wather's idea to raise money to buy Miss Crawford a new car. The club raised an incredible $6,800 in just a few days, and from there, Wather tagged in local dad Adam Tharp, general manager of Highland Lake Automotive. Tharp found a white Jeep that wouldn't break his books to sell at an extreme discount. He took care of a few minor outstanding issues and even threw in some free oil change coupons. Car in hand, Tharp then passed the ball to Jeremy Graves, another dad from the club who took care of the liability insurance on the car on behalf of Miss Crawford. After that, the Jeep and the dads were ready, and on a morning in early March, surprised Miss Crawford while she was on duty. In a Facebook post by the school district, Crawford can be seen holding her mouth in shock as she got the news. Community isn't just a buzzword, read a blog post from the Richardson Independent School District, where Moss Haven is located. It's the action, time, and commitment of the parents, teachers, staff, and all those who show up in the smallest and biggest ways. Dozens of flash dads cheer on students arriving at schools in Kentucky, for 7 years giving high fives and support. By Andy Corbley. If you're a student at a Louisville elementary school, Wednesday might just be your favorite day of the week. Perhaps because of its reputation as the hump day, it's also become the day of action for the flash dads, a volunteer group of fathers from the school district of all different races, creeds, and professions who surprise the children with fist bumps and high fives to start the school day. The Flash Dads struck on February 8th of this year at Rutherford Elementary School and struck again in the new school year on October 26th at Wyke Elementary. First responders, elected officials, fraternity members, and dads of all kinds were there cheering the youth on to their classrooms. Their official title is the Jefferson County Public Schools JCPS Flash Dads, and they were put together by a JCPS program aimed at boosting morale among students. Every time we have a Flash Dads event, students, principals, and teachers always say, "Man, the day was so much better," said Greg Van, an associate from the JCPS program. Students are positive and uplifted, and they can't believe that people are there for them. Dr. Kenya Natsis, principal at Rutherford, told WHAS 11 News that this is the positive energy that they need to start their day. "I think it's important to have Flash Dads in all the schools come out and visit the schools, but more importantly, it gives the kid just a wonderful start to their day," Dr. Natsis said. Fantasy Wonderland of 500,000 Balloons gives sick kids the most uplifting fundraising event ever. By Good News Network. A hotel in Orlando came alive with vibrant colors and breathtaking flair after more than 400 balloon artists from around the world constructed a wonderland to benefit sick children. The ballroom in the Hyatt Hotel became a life-sized replica of Give Kids the World Village, a 90-acre whimsical nonprofit resort in Kissimmee, Florida, which provides critically ill children and their families with magical week-long vacations at no cost. Balloon artisans from 22 countries built life-sized replicas of the village's 7 iconic neighborhoods using 500,000 biodegradable balloons to recreate Under the Sea, Candyland, Dinosaur Land, and more. Sponsored by Pioneer Balloon Company, all the proceeds from the $20 tickets go towards fulfilling the wishes of critically ill children and their families. "We're very excited about bringing the wonder and excitement of balloon artistry to Orlando while raising funds for such an impactful nonprofit," said a spokesperson of Pioneer Balloon Company, founded in 1917. The beautiful event raised $52,000, all of which will be used to fulfill the wishes of critically ill children and their families. Give Kids the World also raises millions of dollars for its charity work with an annual Christmas light spectacular covered by GNN each of the last 2 years. The mission of Give Kids the World Village is to create happiness for wish families during all-inclusive, customized dream vacations that include visits to Disney World. Every family is treated to transportation, accommodations, all meals, donated theme park tickets, nightly entertainment, and more. Since 1986, Give Kids the World has welcomed 177,000 families from all 50 states and 76 countries. Woman's viral video of elderly DoorDash driver channels $1 million to help him retire. By Andy Corbley. A woman who had a DoorDash order brought to her house was shocked to see an old man on her doorbell camera. Inspired to help, she set up a GoFundMe, which raised $940,000 to allow the man to retire. It was just another weekday in Manchester, Tennessee, when Brittany Smith heard the doorbell ring. Switching on her phone's Ring doorbell camera app, she was surprised to see an elderly man that she'd later learn was named Richard, ascending to her porch in a red flannel shirt and khakis. It could have been called a door dawdle order, as in his old age, he could hardly dash up the steps to her front door and needed the hand railing for support. "This poor guy's struggling to get up my stairs to deliver my very capable daughter her Starbucks." Calling her daughter's father, Smith asked to leave a bigger tip, but the father replied that the opportunity through the DoorDash app to do so was gone. Meanwhile, she posted the video footage from the Ring camera on TikTok and other social media platforms, wondering if anyone in Manchester knew who the old man was. A Facebook user recognized him as Richard and got in contact with Smith to reveal his identity and address. Driving over, Smith offered him a $200 tip, which would have made the story beautiful on its own, but it got even sweeter than the Starbucks that Richard delivered. At his house, Richard explained that his wife lost her job and that the two of them quickly lost their savings paying for monthly expenses and a very costly medication that she was taking. Richard took the DoorDash gig to try and supplement their income. That's when Smith set up the GoFundMe with the aim of helping Richard go back into retirement. With the footage from the Ring camera going viral, the GoFundMe benefited tremendously and raised almost $1 million from an incredible 32,000 donations. I had no idea that I was going to gain that much traction, Smith told the UK's Independent. Richard said that he hasn't slept in 2 days because he can't stop watching the GoFundMe. Waitress has fed 270,000 meals to homeless Floridians thanks to a family that gives their all. By Good News Network. A Florida waitress has served more than 270,000 meals to the homeless alongside her husband and two vibrant sons who all exemplify their Christian faith. An immigrant from Barbados, Gloria Vargas, has run the operation since 2012, largely from her home in Fort Lauderdale. I started with buying a little bit of spaghetti and ground beef, and with 40 meals, said the 62-year-old woman. The next week, it went to 60 meals, and then 80 meals. Before you know it, I was at 200 meals every weekend. On a waitress's salary, using all her resources, Gloria now purchases huge amounts of chicken, fish, fresh produce, rice, bread, and bottled water, enough to nourish 175 to 200 people. Her sons write "God loves you" or an encouraging scripture on each meal's styrofoam lid and minister to the downtrodden by listening to their stories. During the COVID-19 pandemic, when other organizations were shutting down, Vargas expanded her operation to serve up to 600 meals, feeding communities in both Fort Lauderdale and Miami. When it's cold, when it's windy, when it's raining, it doesn't matter. We have to show up, Vargas said in an earlier media interview. Then, thanks to a generous seed grant from the Byers Foundation, she set up a nonprofit, Care in Action USA. Now a daily operation, Vargas prepares approximately 120 breakfasts and 125 dinners, which are distributed to waiting crowds in under 40 minutes. She says that the scope of Care in Action USA extends well beyond meal preparation, too. The family assists people with rent, utility payments, hotel rooms, bus passes, and new clothes. Her husband, Antonio, is a certified auto mechanic and has used his skills to repair cars for free and drive people to job interviews and appointments. My husband can make so much more money during the job that he does, but he takes homeless people to appointments, said Vargas. Thanks to donations and volunteers, the couple says that they've even opened a transitional home that's housed 8 men who pay between $300 and $400 in rent if they maintain employment requirements. People are blessed by Gloria's food, to be sure, but they're drawn like magnets to her story, her family's kindness, and her example of love. With the help of friends, volunteers, and donors, they care for the needy and make a difference one person at a time. Crazy Crafty Denver nonprofit snags old hotel and turns it into instant housing for low income and homeless. By Andy Corbley. In Denver, Colorado, the price of housing continues to rise, but opportunities to create low-income housing are expensive and take years to build. So when the Quality Inn and Suites on Quebec Street went up for sale, the president of the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless, CCH, saw a golden opportunity. John Parvensky snapped up the 139-room complex for $8.4 million, secured with a mixture of private, city, and state funds, and completed some brief renovations before christening it Fusion Studios. Fusion Studios, serving a variety of people in need, represents the 17th building that he's opened in 3 decades of work. Rooms are expected to be available for the people who come right in off the street or from shelters across the city as soon as the end of the month. For renters, vouchers can be secured by prospective tenants from the state and city to ensure that no more than 30% is required for their incomes for rent. Parvensky said on average, tenants can manage about $100 a month, with a lot of it coming from other benefits such as disability payments received. The floor and room plan is divided up by a person's circumstances rather than by size and luxury. 28 rooms will be set aside for those awaiting trial for low-level crimes like public urination and trespassing. Another 10 are reserved for homeless people who find themselves frequenting Denver public hospitals. For individuals looking to move on to other forms of affordable and permanent housing, or who have housing currently being constructed for them, another 25 rooms have been set aside. Britta Fisher, head of Denver's housing department, called Fusion Studios practically instant housing. "We all know that we need more housing units and that we need them quickly," she told Denverite during Tuesday's opening ceremony. "I truly hope that we can replicate this model in partnerships at other sites in Denver." Doctor adopts 4-year-old patient who had no family when he arrived for heart surgery and found homes for his 5 siblings, too. By Nathan Frederick. The 4-year-old boy was headed into heart surgery all alone, a sad circumstance that would soon unleash a butterfly effect of kindness, as his anesthesiologist became his mother, helping to deliver the stable home life that he never had. The duo first met in 2022, after the boy named True was born with congenital heart disease requiring surgery, and he spent his earliest years in foster care. On the day of his operation at Children's Nebraska Hospital, his social worker had COVID, so True was admitted for the surgery by himself. That's when Dr. Amy Beeth walked in. "He was sitting there all alone," Beeth told KETV in Omaha. "It took me back that this 4-year-old was going to go through heart surgery and no one was there." True's procedure took about 7 hours, and Amy spent most of that time thinking about the sweet little kid who was going through it all by himself. Dr. Amy eventually contacted True's caseworker and learned a little more about the boy. He had 6 siblings, 5 of whom were placed with a grandmother due to a domestic violence situation. None of them were thriving, and it was hard to find a permanent home for True considering all his medical needs. Before long, the social worker asked Amy a question that would soon change everyone's lives. "Are you an option?" The answer was already waiting in Amy's heart. She was currently a mom of 6, with 3 biological children and 3 who were adopted. But she knew that her family and her heart had room for one more. "After I dropped True off in recovery, I called my husband and I just said, 'We need to have a talk when we get home. I need you to have an open mind,'" Amy told Steve Hartman of CBS News. When Amy's husband, Ryan, met True in the hospital, he immediately fell in love with him, and the four-year-old became a bee about a month after his surgery. Then, an even more remarkable thing happened. The Beeves realized how close True was with his other siblings, so Amy sought to find them foster homes too, so the kids could all stay connected. Amy's sister adopted one of the girls, and her sister-in-law's family adopted another. A co-worker adopted two more, and then Amy and Ryan opened their hearts and home again to adopt True's sister, Lainey. The six all found homes, Amy told the Washington Post, and the adoptions all became official in August 2023 during one big, huge adoption ceremony. It's hard to measure the positive impact that Amy's added to the siblings' lives, but the biggest benefits likely belong to True. His heart condition will almost certainly require a transplant someday, a procedure that wouldn't be possible without a reliable support system. Without a successful, loving home life, a patient like True with an extraordinarily complex congenital heart disease wouldn't be able to survive, True's doctor, Jason Cole, told CBS. So in 2022, when the little boy's broken heart required surgery, he may have entered the hospital waiting room all alone, but there was an angel on the other side of the curtain who'd fill his future with family and his heart full of love. Her name was Dr. Amy. Postal worker drives 52 miles after work to return lost wallet found in negative 11 degrees Fahrenheit weather. By Andy Corboy. Everyone in life has likely gone through it at least once. Losing a wallet can be stressful, to say the least. So can delivering snail mail in negative 11 degrees Fahrenheit weather, but that didn't stop a Pennsylvania postal worker from doing a good deed when presented with the opportunity. 25-year-old Bruce Arma, a new member of the mail team, found a wallet half buried in snow in Coraopolis near Pittsburgh. He tucked it away in his car and continued on his route, but not because he meant to steal anything. Finishing his shift, he looked to see if there was an ID of some kind that might have an address, and thankfully there was. Speaking with CBS News Pittsburgh's Barry Pinter, Arma explained why he struck out at the end of a long day in his own car to return the wallet to its rightful owner. "It was my father's good deeds," Arma said, explaining that his dad taught him that he should do the same in the stranger's position. "He lost his wallet, and someone returned it to him, so I was just returning the favor." His father's wisdom at heart, Arma arrived in Clinton, only to find that the wallet's owner moved all the way to McDonald, which, for readers not familiar with the area, is many miles away. He nonetheless made the hike, driving 52 miles in total after work to and from the owner's house, in order to return that favor that his father experienced all those years ago. There was $100 cash in there, credit cards, an ID, and healthcare cards, said the husband of the wallet's owner, Matt Bryan. He wanted nothing in return, he just said that it was the right thing to do. Bryan wouldn't let sleeping dogs lie, and quickly told his own mailman about the incident, who in turn told another postal service worker, who told another, until it caught the ear of their boss, who commended Arma for taking so much time and effort at the end of a long, taxing, cold day. His father would be proud. Thank you cards pile up with nowhere to go after school district receives anonymous, transformative donation. By Andy Corboy. As the hours ticked by, Superintendent Joseph Hattrick was flummoxed by the sheer number of cards and papers lined with cutout hearts and birds, colored all over with heartfelt messages. Hundreds started piling up in his office, all saying the same thing. Thank you, whoever you are. The Ashland Schools Foundation was recently shocked when they were asked to oversee an $890,000 donation from an anonymous benefactor on behalf of Ashland School District in Oregon. The foundation works through fundraising to provide schools with enriching programs, events, and activities, but the district itself faces a financial crisis and mid-year staffing shortages beyond the nonprofit's ability to address. $850,000 of the donation is thusly going towards the district budget, and $40,000 is going towards student affinity groups, which help foster a sense of belonging for all students. This extraordinary act of generosity demonstrates the profound impact that community members can have on public education, said Erica Thompson, executive director of the Ashland Schools Foundation. The donor was moved to action after reading about our district's challenges in Ashland in the news and recognized our foundation as a trusted partner to facilitate their support while maintaining anonymity. Students of all ages across the district have written hundreds of heartfelt thank you cards to express their appreciation to the anonymous donor, with more continuing to arrive daily. Collecting the thank you cards was incredibly heartwarming, said Hattrick in his statement. Students expressed to me that they were amazed by how generous this donor was, and that they want to do nice things for other people just like the donor did. I've heard stories from classroom teachers and community members of random acts of kindness that they've witnessed as a result of the example that this donor's made. I'd love to see random acts of kindness spread throughout our community that can be attributed to what started here. You've been listening to A Positive Outlook. This program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. This is Ava Sardina. I'll be with you again soon. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note. I'm Ariana Rimmel, the managing producer for Bird Note Daily. This week, we're asking you to support the show by making a donation at birdnote.org. You've probably heard the expression, light as a feather. But bird feathers aren't just amazingly light. They're also resilient, something that Bird Note and bird feathers share in common. Bird feathers get their strength from a clever structure that does more with less. The central shaft of a bird feather has many thin, flexible barbs that branch off. Zoom into those barbs, and you'll see that there are lots of tiny barbules that branch off of the barbs. These barbules have hooks that help neighboring barbs stick together like Velcro. Though the individual barbs and barbules might be weak on their own, their interlocking structure makes feathers sturdy and flight-worthy. Bird Note is an independent nonprofit that relies on the generosity of its listeners. Just like how each tiny barbule makes it possible for birds to soar through the air, our work stays on the air because individual listeners like you donate at birdnote.org. If you've already donated this week, thank you. If you haven't, please give now at birdnote.org to keep the stories you love soaring across the airwaves. I'm Ariana Rimmel.